Good evening, basketball fans, and welcome to the Upstate Hoops Podcast for Sunday, February 22nd, 2015 on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi here with a big show on tap tonight as we take a look at all the brackets for sectionals, give our final Wayne Finger Lakes Power Rankings and Girls Super 6, announce our all Wayne Finger Lakes Award honorees, Coaches of the Years, Player of the Years, and generally preview the postseason, which is upon us. The Upstate Hoops Podcast is brought to you by Generations Bank, with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Check out their mobile banking app and visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by Dr. Rod Littlejohn, with over 30 years of smiles with style. And by Red's Place, the best lunches around are in downtown Seneca Falls. Check out their menu online at menshalloffame.com. Up here tonight with my co-host Matt Verkey. How you doing, Verk?
Hey, Jim. Doing well tonight.
Got a lot to get through tonight. We're going to go class by class for the boys and look at all the brackets and potential matchups. And also like to bring into the show right now voice of Finger Lakes News Radio, Ted Baker, for Ted Baker's Radio Roundball Roundup. How you doing, Ted?
Doing good. Looking forward to the postseason.
And, Ted, we're going to talk about the girls' side of things with you tonight, and one thing we were talking about leading up to the show tonight was maybe not going to see too many sectional championships from the Wayne Finger Lakes this year.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. I mean, some of the teams that have been very good for years are down. Waterloo's down. The Geneva girls, I can't figure out. I could see them really surprising people, or I could see them getting knocked out in the first round. They haven't been real consistent. Obviously, the Romulus girls, I think, are the best bet for the teams that we follow in WGVA to be playing beyond Section 5. And as a school, I mean, we're going to be following Minders, because both the girls and boys, that's probably, if the schools we follow, the best combined showing for the girls and boys is the Blue Devils.
Yeah, now let's talk about Minders. They would actually, looks like, as a 5 seed, that they may have to go on the road in the second round, but still we're looking at them as a favorite in C1. Bloomfield's in there, East Rochester's the number one seed, Gananda, another Wayne County team in their bracket. I know we don't get to see a lot of Bloomfield and some of the teams out west as much as we do on this side of the Finger Lakes, but I don't know, Ted. Give it a percentage for Minders. Is East Rochester the favorite, the number one seed, or is?
Yeah, East Rochester's 18-1. They're pretty strong this year. But I mean, you look back the last couple of years, and a 3-win Minders team and a 4-win Minders team just about ran the table. So what is a 13-win Minders team going to do out of the Finger Lakes East? That the seeding, it was very, very close from the looks of things. It could have just as easily been Bloomfield number 4. Minders number 5. They were very, very close. Bloomfield's 14-4. Minders is 13-6. But I got to believe that the Finger Lakes East is tougher than the West. And you know, maybe another topic for another show. I think the way that the points are set up and the leagues are set up is kind of odd and could use some revamping, where you have some teams that never play a team in their class all year long, so it's hard to make these comparisons. So that's what the way I look at it. If a 3-win and a 4-win Minders team can go as deep as they have, you know, what can this team that looks much stronger do? So
it's a good point.
Oh, they're a 5 seed. I mean, I think you got to figure they're a decent bet to be playing for the championship.
Do you agree, Burke?
Yeah, I agree. You know, they've done well the last couple of years when they've really gotten beat up in the Finger Lakes East. This year, they've more than held their own. Hit some close games with the top of the league, and they'll get some wins over teams like Palmac and Mid Lakes. I think another team to kind of beware of in that bracket is the 6 seed, Batavia Notre Dame. A private school. I think they're the defending champion, and I think they won Class D last year. They moved them up to C1 this year. But, they're always a team. They obviously can recruit in players and stuff like that, and they're usually pretty strong as well. They play a pretty tough schedule usually. So, kind of a weird, you know, when you're looking at a couple, you know, 5 and 6 seeds as maybe the favorites, you know, going in. I know Wayne County girls was down a little bit this year when you look at in ER and Ganon as the 1 and 2 seeds. But, you know, I guess a lot of things are to be determined, and maybe Wayne County's not down. Maybe those teams are just good. So, you know, we'll have to see.
This is where we find out. Ted, talking about Geneva and Wayne, you know, one of the biggest rivalries the past few years in girls basketball. The only way they're going to meet in this postseason is if it's at the in the finals, being on the opposite side of the brackets. You think there's a chance of that happening?
Well, yeah. I think there's a chance of that happening. I think there's a chance they get knocked out in the first round. I mean, they don't have an easy game in the first round. They have to go on the road to Batavia. They're the number 5 seed. They played very well in that game against Wayne in the rematch and knocked them off. That's why that's maybe the hardest team to read in these brackets this year is the Geneva girls, because it's, I mean, 13-6 in a tough league in the Finger Lakes East, nothing to sneeze at, but they've been inconsistent at times. So, you know, will they be able to put it together? They've got the legacy of those heartbreaking exits the last couple of years. I mean, that has to kind of be in the back of their minds. So that's just a very hard team for me to get a read on.
Any other teams locally, Wayne Finger Lakes teams, you think got a good shot to take home a sectional title? I mean, we
have Romulus.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a good one. I mean, you think?
I think Romulus. It would be a shock if they're not playing beyond Section 5. I mean, that's how good they are. They won the rematch with Dundee. You know, I don't think there's anybody in their Section 5 bracket that's going to take them out. I mean, you never want to look ahead, but I mean, informally, I think the fans are kind of talking about who they would get in the crossover game beyond Section 5. I mean, I think that's the team that has the best chance of anybody that we're following to go deep. Other than that, it's kind of a down year, but that's one of the things that's fun about the playoffs is who will that surprise team be? You know, every year there's going to be some lower seed that you don't expect to do something that just peaks at the right time and plays well in the postseason.
Yeah, some candidates, maybe Midlakes, maybe Waterloo, maybe South Seneca.
Yeah, the South Seneca team, I like that team, and that's, you know, they're in a tough league playing with the likes of Romulus and Dundee. So that's why if they made me the king of Section 5 basketball, I think the leagues should be set up so that more teams are playing in their class. I think it's odd when you have teams that go an entire season and only play one or two teams in their class. So, you come playoff time and the seeding points are a little bit deceptive sometimes.
Sure. So, Ted, do you have any schedule in terms of games you're going to be calling this week?
Yeah, we've got tomorrow night, we've got the only game that's on the schedule. That's a play-in game, Marcus Whitman girls and Penn Yan. That's a 2-win team and a 1-win team for the right to take on the number one seed in the second round. On Tuesday, Midlakes boys hosting Wayland Cahockton.
Yep.
Wednesday, we've got the Geneva boys hosting Wayne. And then Friday, the Minders boys against the winner of that first-round play-in game that I think is Tuesday, if I remember correctly.
So, basically, if it's not Thursday, you're calling a game this week.
Saturday, let's see, what have I got Saturday? No, I guess nothing Saturday. NSU Saturday against Duke.
Yeah. Any other WFLR or any other stations have some games this week?
Yeah, WFLR will be carrying our feed of Marcus Whitman Penier, and they're going to obviously be following Dundee. They've got the Dundee girls with Red Jacket coming up on Tuesday. And then Saturday, if they win on Tuesday. So, I mean, that's obviously a very strong team. Handed Romulus their only loss. So I think that's a team to our south that's going to be bear watching.
All right, Ted. Well, we'll be tuning in. And certainly it's engaging to check out any of these games because for one team, it means season's over. Seniors' career's over, final game. And the other team moves on, play another game. So, I mean, it's high drama. And, Ted, you know, we'll be looking forward to tuning in, and thanks for calling in tonight.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to the playoffs.
All right, Ted, have a good week.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks.
There you go, Ted Baker. Busy this week, but, you know, it's nice to know that you can check out all these games live on the radio. And you mentioned, Ted mentioned a full slate of games. And so speaking of slates of games, we have a ton to talk about. We're going to take you through the boys' bracket, starting with D1, working all the way up to A2, and with a focus, of course, on the Wayne Finger Lakes teams as we do. So, Virk, let's start out with a D1 bracket. and you take a look and you see just two Wayne Finger Lakes teams and they're playing each other in the first round. You got HAC at a four seed against Romulus, still winless. Any chance Romulus picks up that first win to play another game?
Not happening.
Do you like HAC's chances to maybe,
you know,
win D1?
I haven't really looked at that bracket too much, but, you know, not really. I don't like their chances to win it, but you know, they're a team. That's a pretty good league over there, and you know, they could make some noise at that level. You know, they're playing a lot of C schools all year long, and you know, they drop down. They're playing, you know, D schools now, but you know, the favorite there is going to be, I would think, probably, you know, the two seed Batavia Notre Dame is who I like in that bracket.
All right, let's move ahead to C3. A little more action going on in terms of local teams, and this is one that we've been talking about all year. You have the Big Green Machine of Naples at number one seed at the top of the bracket, 18-0, and then the second seed, the Lions, at 16-3, and you know, that's kind of our dream scenario for a final. You also have a 13-seeded Marion and Honeyoy in there is what, a 10-seed, yeah. Obviously not looking too good for Marion or Hanoi to make a run, but, you know, I know that Wheatland Chilai could be a tough draw for Lions. Cuba Rushford's a team that's given them trouble in the past. If Cuba Rushford should beat Hanoi, they'll be playing Lions at the Atwood on, I think, Friday night. And then for Naples, you know, they got a pretty clear – they will – the only team that looks like that they might have to play with a winning record –
well, they could see York in the semis.
It would be York in the semis. And then, you know, another team that's hard to get a grip on is the RCMCS, the charter school. They've only played 14 games this year. And and the reason they take an average of games for sectional points, so it's strange. It's strange, you know, a charter school probably doesn't.
Yeah.
14 games is all. You know, who wins that game in the finals if it happens? Newark or Lions?
Naples, you mean?
Yeah, Naples or Lions.
Newark, I'll take Newark. But I like this bracket a lot. You know, I think when you get down to if the seeds hold, and you know, I think the wild card is that RCMCS versus York. You know, should be a pretty good you know, quarterfinal game. But if they get, if you know, either York or RCMS versus Naples, you know, I think that's a good game. I think Lions, Wheatland, and Chile is a really good game. You know, Wheatland's got a lot of, they got all the three brothers. You know, they're a high scoring team. They're
Rodney, like, and Tyler Roberts.
Yeah, and there's another one too that's like a freshman that plays. So they get up and down the court. You know, they're probably a team who can match Lions' quickness and match up with Hunter pretty well, and probably has more overall team quickness than Lions does. But they've been, you know, lurking around. Clyde beat them up pretty good a couple years ago. But, you know, I think they lost in the finals last year. So, you know, that would be a great matchup as the 2-3 Wheatland Chile versus Lions. I'm going to go with Wheatland Chile to win this class.
Wow. Yeah. It seems like it would be one of those three teams with maybe RCMCS as a dark horse. They have one of the best players in the class in Amos Williams. But RCMCS, yeah, I said it right. They haven't played a game since January 28th, so who knows?
Yeah, I would like to take a look at their schedule and see who they played. I really didn't get a chance to do that, but see who they beat and who they played this year.
Well, let's take a look. First, if these teams should happen, you know, hopefully we're pulling for a Naples-Lions final the way we do. That would be a 2 o'clock final in the Blue Cross Arena on Saturday, March 7th. So let's move ahead now to C2. And there's Jake Slobe and the Red Creek Grams in number 2 seed. They won their first Wayne County title in 50 years in school history. And now they're playing for a sectional title, and they got a great shot. You know, it looks like they might play a decent Perry team in the second round. And you know, looking ahead,
that would be, yeah, they get Perry, sure, in the quarters, right?
And then from there, they're one win away from the final. You know, and you know, you see a 3 seed Canisteo Greenwood at 16-1, but again, you know, it's tough. We don't get a look at these teams.
Yeah, it's you got Clyde's playing in the 8-9 game. They get Camp El Savona. You know, luckily they get them at home, so they don't got to go to Camp El Savona, which is quite a haul.
Yeah, it's a big difference there between 8 and 9 seed.
You know, Camp El's had some success. You know, I think they won 3 or 4 sectional titles in a row not too long ago, but they've been down a lot lately. And, you know, Clyde obviously has been, you know, winners of the last 2 sectional championships. So, obviously, you know, that's a lot of history between those 2 schools. You know, I like Clyde to win that game. And then, you know, Clyde matches up with Cal Mum. You never know.
I can see them winning that game. Clyde's on the upswing. I mean, I'm really impressed with the way they kind of turned their season around. And came together for the second half, finished 4th place in tough Wayne County League. Now, what about Dundee? Sitting there at 4 seed, they get Red Jacket first round. You'd like to think that they would win that game, as they did twice in the regular season this year.
Yeah, and then they got a tough quarterfinal game against Kendall. You know, Kendall's a team who just upset Wheatland Chile, I think the last game of the year. And, you know, Wheatland Chile, obviously, we just talked about them, very good team. So I think Dundee's going to have their hands full with Kendall and, you know, to get to play Cal Mum. And, you know, that's kind of a matchup people like to see as well, Cal Mum and Dundee. But, you know, obviously they got a tough road ahead to get to the finals.
Then down the bottom of the bracket, you got South Seneca Falcons at 11 seed, team that tripled their wins from the year before. And you'll see if they can pull an upset against Geneseo. But all eyes on Red Creek, you know. Every game could be the last of Jake Slobe's career. You'd like to see the Rams get to the Blue Cross. You know, I'm not even saying win the sectional title. Like to see him win the sectional title, too. But get to the Blue Cross be a great way to cap off a historic season for Red Creek. And then as far as the top, I wouldn't be shocked to see Dundee or Clyde Savannah, you know, advance to the Blue Cross on the top side of the bracket. So should be real interesting in C2. So let's move ahead now to Class C1. And there you have the number one seed, Minders Blue Devils. And you also have a 4 seed, East Rochester, 5 seed, Bloomfield. And then you got Sodus at 7 seed, but without Ron Derek Morris, won't be playing in the postseason. 6 seed, Gananda, and then Williamson in the 12 seed. So we have 6 Wayne Finger Lakes teams in C1. And, you know, Minders has a pretty nice path to the final when you look at how they did in the regular season. But the one thing with me, Virk, and Minders is that doesn't matter who they play, it seems to be a close game, unless they're playing someone like Newark who killed them a couple times. But, you know, it seems like every game.
Yeah, you know, it's, I guess you would say that, you know, play their competition sometimes. You know, when you look at when they, you know, they needed a last second heroics to beat a, you know, 1 or 2 win Mid-Lakes team. But, you know, they come back and do the same thing. They beat, you know, close games with, they kind of handled Penny in pretty well the second time playing them. Pulled one out against
last second shot against Mid-Lakes,
Palmyra. So they're, you know, I guess it's good that they've played in a lot of close games. You just hope that you know, maybe come sectionals they'll amp it up a little bit and take care of business. You know, I think they should get to the finals, but you know, it's an interesting matchup when you see ER. You know, I think we'll see East Rochester probably playing Bloomfield in the 4-5 game. You know, Bloomfield's been playing better lately. And, I think either one of those teams could give Minders a little bit of a scare. You know, last year Minders kind of, I don't know if it was an upset, but they lost to Gananda in sectionals, a Wayne County team. So, Minders will obviously have to play well to win that second round game when they get ER or most likely Bloomfield, one of those 2 teams. But, you know, I like them advancing to the finals and matching up with a early college team who, you know, they play in a lot of city teams, obviously, a charter school. They're well-tested. Naples beat Early College this year. So, you know, we do have a little history there. But it should be, you know, and Minders could win it all. I think, you know, Early College probably a little bit more athletic than we are and stuff like that, and our guards are going to have to show up. But this should be, you know, if we see that in the finals, it should be a great game.
Yeah, and you look at East Rochester and Bloomfield as teams that potentially have a chance to make a run. And I suppose Gananda, even though they're 7-11. Bloomfield, Alex Flattery, one of the best players in the class. East Rochester, small, but really good guard-oriented team. and that finished 10-9 in Wayne County. So, yeah, if the seeds hold true, it would be Minders Early College. Nick Ciotti was awarded Coach of the Year for Class C1 at the number one seed banquet on Friday in Bushnell's Basin, I believe it was.
Yeah, that's good. I kind of thought he'd be the favorite there, you know, led Minders in number one seed in a year where we didn't really know what to expect from Minders with some of the graduation losses they had last year. And, you know, kind of a really young team coming back, and he was able to persevere. And, you know, I thought they did a great job finishing alone in second place in the Finger Lakes East.
Yeah, yep. Now, I should mention C1 final would be at 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross. For C1, I mean, that is early, and for such a big game.
Yeah, I mean,
you're leaving.
She's 7:30. You know, get up there at 8:30 for a 10 o'clock game. You know, get ready.
Yeah, get to bed early the night before too.
Yep.
But it's just, you know, for a big game like that, the biggest game of the year for the two teams involved there, it's a tough starting at 10 a.m. It's a weird feeling. But let's jump ahead now to B2, and the best chance for any Wayne Finger Lakes team to get to the Big House might be here in B2, and it might be in the form of North Rose. Combined with the fact that if Marcus Whitman beats Bath Haverling, they would meet, and one of those two teams would go to the Blue Cross. And then you have Mid Lakes up top of the bracket in the lone play-in game for the class against Wayland-Cohocton. Luckily, they're hosting Wayland-Cohocton, winner to face a 16-3 Wellsville team. So, yeah, I don't know, Virk, you look at this B2 bracket, and it's tough not to like the North Rose Wolcott Cougars.
I think it's wide open. Wellsville's always good. Their schedule's not always the greatest and stuff like that. They've had some upsets. I believe they upset Minders a couple years ago, and we had a pretty good team. But they've taken their lumps in sectionals as well when they've come in with some pretty good records in the past. So, you really don't never know what to expect, but, you know, yeah, when you look at it, you know, North Rose has a good chance here. I don't know much about Attica, obviously, but, I think this is wide open.
Yeah, and you look at...
And wide open also, I mean, you know, North Rose could lose their first game. I don't know. They lost to Waterloo. I guess you never know, but they could advance all the way to the final and win the whole thing here if they can get it together and put three games together.
Well, if they did, like I say, beat Leroy, they would match up with Marcus Whitman, maybe in Waterloo. And ironically, that's the gym we saw him play in against Waterloo, where they were terrible shooting-wise, probably their worst shooting night of the season. So I don't know if they'll be looking forward to coming back to Waterloo, but it should be interesting to see what types of, when these next round games and the semifinals and all the C's, they find a neutral court, you know, so it's hard to tell where they're going to be. You know, or for that matter, where we're going to be in terms of calling some of these games. Wellsville beat U Prep, gave Leadership Academy a very good game, and have a great point guard named Liam Ebert. North Rose Wolcott shut down a great point guard last week in Damon Hunter, if you remember, against Lyons. So, I like the Cougars there, without a doubt, but Marcus Whitman's one of those teams that's they've won a lot more games than they lost at 13-5 this year, but don't seem to be getting the credit, partly because they're kind of the third man out in the Finger Lakes West. You know, you had Dundee in the West and Naples.
Yeah, Wellsville with those, Leadership's very good, and if Wellsville can play with Leadership, then obviously they got some talent, and they're probably the favorite then, looking at that whole thing, but beatable.
Okay, now jumping ahead to Class B1, and you got an incredible first-round matchup with Penn Yan at Palmyra, a game that last time they played went to overtime, a couple Finger Lakes East opponents. And then down the bottom at 6 seed, you have Waterloo, but maybe one of the most dangerous 6 seeds you could find right now. They're playing really well and have one of the best big men in the Wayne Finger Lakes and Ben Deming, so they'll have a long trip to Hornell, and then likely if they were to pull that upset, they'd have to face a tough Livonia team as well. So really difficult road in B1 at the bottom of the bracket for Waterloo, and then at the top, the winner of that Pelmac-Penyan game has to face Leadership Academy. And looking at this bracket, it's Leadership Academy, I can tell you right now, is the best team, and it's not even close in terms of, like, talent. It's a 16-3 Leadership Academy team that probably would have been very competitive if they were playing up in one of the A-classes as well.
Yeah, they got a good team. I believe they won it last year, and you know, they're definitely the favorite there. But there's there's some tough teams in there, and like you said, Waterloo's won 3 or 4 in a row here, and it seems like Coach Panik's got those kids playing together and finally winning some games and kind of turning the corner in that program. So you know, they're going to go give Hornell everything they got, I'm sure, and you never know.
Yeah, and then following that up would be a game against Livonia, most likely Ricky Allen, C.J. Richardson and company for the Bulldogs. And, yeah, interesting B1. Again, though, the problem there, Leadership Academy is very, very good. Whoever, if they were to get knocked off anywhere along the way after having a – I think they do have a first-round game. It's not listed there. I think they do play a winner of a preliminary round game. Maybe I'm wrong. But they're going to smoke them, and then – then it'll be either Pelmac or Penyan looking for an upset. And then in the final, Hornell, Livonia, maybe Waterloo hit the Blue Cross. So that brings us to our final bracket involving Wayne Finger Lakes teams in A2, where you have the hard luck Newark Panthers, or Newark Reds, sorry. And I say hard luck because it's tough. For Newark, they're one of the smallest teams in A2, and last year they lost to Batavia in a game that they could have won that went down to the wire. They had a very good team last year. 2 years ago, lost to Batavia. Well, the good news for and that was in the semis both times. And the good news for Newark is they won't face Batavia until perhaps the finals. The bad news is they might have to face a pretty tough UPrep team in the first round if UPrep can beat Greece Olympia. And then a 17-2 School of the Arts team in the semifinals at the Blue Cross. And then at the top of the bracket, you have number one Batavia with Jeff Redband, probably one of the best players in all of Section 5, a solid D2 player, scored 52 points in a game earlier this year. And they'll face the winner of Wayne and Geneva, an 8-9 game featuring two Finger Lakes East teams. And you see Geneva and Wayne, you think, oh, geez, that's a tough draw for Batavia. But not so much this year, the way it's gone for both of those teams, just pretty much getting beat up in the East. But you'd like to think both those teams still had the talent to maybe pull an upset and get to the Blue Cross semifinals at the Blue Cross in Class A2. And then the other game at the top of the bracket would be College Prep in Honeoy Falls, Lima. College Prep could knock off Batavia before the finals.
Yeah, College Prep's a good team. That's between the 3 and the 4, I'd rather play Soda than College Prep probably. So, I think Newark kinda got a nice draw there if they can get by most likely University Prep. So I like Newark's chances to get to the finals. And then, you draw a tough Batavia team who we saw play last year and Geneva defeated them. And was that the finals they beat him in? Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, Batavia's got, we saw Redband, a bunch of those guys play last year. They're a good point guard.
But Geneva beat Batavia in the finals, and they beat College Prep in the semis. Was it College Prep
University
or U-Prep?
University Prep, one of those
U-Prep,
teams.
U-Prep, yeah. Prep, some Prep.
So, I look for a Newark-Batavia in the final, and should be a great game.
Yeah, and just to show you how really anything could happen. If you look earlier this year, College Prep killed Pelmac at one point, but then they came back and barely beat Wayne. And so, you see Wayne in the same bracket here, and we're talking about they probably don't have a chance, but, they hung with the 4 seed in their class earlier this year. And a little fun fact here, College Prep coached by a Lions grad, Kyle Crandall.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
A little fun fact, courtesy of Zach Young, who Zach, head coach of Lions, does a lot of scouting. Maybe the hardest working coach in Section 5. And so he shares some of his knowledge on some of these other teams that he's seen that maybe we haven't. So thanks, Zach, for your help. And, that about wraps it up in terms of our bracket breakdown. So we're going to step aside for a short commercial. And when we come back, it's our 2014 and 15 All Wayne Finger Lakes FL1 Sports Awards. We'll have Coaches of the Year. We'll have Players of the Year. And our All Wayne Finger Lakes Big 15 Boys, All Wayne Finger Lakes Girls Super 6, our final power rankings of the year. And we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Guidance and partnership through every step of the journey. Welcome to Generations Bank.
Good luck to all of our student athletes this high school sports season.
Welcome back to the Upstate Hoops Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv and YouTube. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube. Click that red button below if you're watching on YouTube. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher.com, and online at podcast.fingerlakes1.com/UpstateHoops. Well, we had the nominees posted last week during last week's show for the Upstate Hoops FL1 Sports All Wayne Finger Lakes Awards. And it's, we calculated it. The votes came in from all the members of the FL1 Sports team, except for Mike Alessio, Virk.
No, he didn't get any in?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Down on vacation in Florida, I guess. No, just living it up.
Must not have the internet down there.
But here we go. We've tallied them. And let's start with the girls. Let's start with the coach of the year for the girls, which one from each league, and then the overall coach of the year. From the Finger Lakes East, Jerry Anderson and Minders. Teammate of yours in 1992. I don't know if it, and Kevin Korzneski,
yep,
for Minders. I don't know if that played a role into it, but I really think he won it on the merits of basically turning around a program in since he took over 2 years ago. And, you know, really having them on the rise.
Yeah, you know, Minders has kind of gotten beaten up the last few years in the league play, but, you know, this year they were able to finish in fourth place, you know, which is solid for us. You know, like Ted was saying, you know, we've gone to the section. We won sectionals 2 years ago with a, I think we went in 4-14 or something, 3-15 last year, and Jerry took them to the finals. This year did a really nice job. You know, competing. You know, they played Geneva at home right down to the buzzer. Had a, you know, stayed with Geneva and Wayne for the most part. You know, I know they got beat up pretty good at Geneva, but some big wins over some big teams. And you know, if nothing, they're well prepared for sectionals. They've seen. I doubt they're going to see any teams as good as Geneva or Wayne in Class C1 girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like their chances come sectional time. And, you know, I think he's got that program heading in the right direction.
So then in the West, it's Damon Nicholson at Romulus, you know, coming off a state championship, coming right back, only losing one game, and then avenging that loss to Dundee last week. You know, maybe if Dundee ended up beating Romulus a second time, it would have been Tom Pratt, coach of Dundee.
Yeah.
But Damon Nicholson in the West. And then in Wayne County, it's Mark Loria, East Rochester, running the table in the Wayne County League. And then overall, Champ Virk, or the overall winner for Coach of the Year girls is Nicholson at Romulus. I mean, what he's done has been phenomenal.
Sure. You know, Class D school, they're playing a lot of bigger schools, and they lost a ton from last year. Obviously, they bring back Zoe McDonald.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think they're probably the favorites in the league coming in. But, you know, to persevere after all those losses, you know, losing earlier to Dundee, they came back, regrouped, and were able to beat Dundee the second time and get ready. And, you know, I think they're probably heavy favorites in sectionals. So, you know, Coach Nicholson's got that program on a roll now.
So congratulations to Damon Nicholson, our Girls Coach of the Year. Now let's look at the All Wayne Finger Lakes Girls Super 6 and Player of the Year. And so we'll go right from 6 to 1 here. Number 1 will be our Player of the Year as well. And at 6, we start with Sydney Jones at Mid Lakes, Virk.
Yeah, you know, just kind of a stat stuffer. You see her with a lot of points, rebounds, assists, does a little bit of everything, and, you know, had a great year for Mid Lakes.
And then we have Chelsea Steinruck from Waterloo, who last year she was a key part of a really good team with Lauren Deming and Lindsey Johnson. A lot of those guys are gone, and she's been tough all year. Scored her 1,000th point this year, too.
Yeah, 1,000-point scorer. They struggled, obviously, this year with some of the losses they suffered, but she had to persevere. And, you know, it's a little different when the focus is all on you as opposed to playing with some other great players. So, you know, she had her struggles a little bit at times this year, but was able to, you know, get some wins for Arlo, and, you know, she was able to make this team.
And then we have Zoe McDonald for Romulus in that big game against Dundee. She had 22 points and 22 rebounds. And you talk about the losses that Romulus had last year from their state championship team. She's kind of stepped up and filled the void, and she was a serious contender for our player of the year overall.
Sure, you know, when you look at the numbers, they're gaudy. You know, she's got average, you know, 15 rebounds a game along with, you know, 20 points a game. You know, I would like to see her. You know, I don't know where she would stand if they're playing a team like Geneva, if she would obviously, you know, post those kind of numbers. But she's a very hard worker. You know, she's going to play Division II basketball at St. Rose. So, you know, obviously a very good player.
And speaking of St. Rose, another player that makes our list that's heading to St. Rose is Ashley Vanderwaal from Pell Mac. Legendary scorer here in the Wayne Finger Lakes over the past several years. And she certainly made our top six.
Yeah, good score, good size, you know, shoots it, you know, does a little bit of everything. You know, Pell Mac kind of had a up-and-down season, I would say. I think maybe a little bit more was expected of them this year with her coming back. But, you know, she had another great year.
And then Shayna McLeod from Wayne, just a phenomenal player who brought home a sectional title last year for Wayne. And
Yeah, you know, another player who does everything. You know, she's very versatile. You know, I think it was another player that was considered for player of the year.
It was between her and the winner, really, when it came down to it.
And, you know, so obviously a great player and, you know, was able to share a Finger Lakes East title this year with Geneva.
And then our player of the year, final member of our Girl Super Six, Mia Morrison, Geneva Lady Panthers, just kind of does it all and emotional leader on top of that for her squad.
Yeah, you know, Geneva, she led Geneva to their first league title since 1982, I think I read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Coach Collins and Mia really got this program headed in the right direction. You know, obviously suffered a heartbreaker last year in sectionals, but looking to avenge that, I guess, this year.
Yep, so congratulations to Sydney, Chelsea, Zoe, Ashley, Shayna, and our player of the year, Mia Morrison, for Geneva. And now let's move over to the boys side of things. And coach of the year in the Finger Lakes East. And yes, Nick Ciotti did win the C1 coach of the year at the banquet the other day, but we had to go with Bob Havrilla, you know, for Newark. And when you looked at what part of the reason is, we talked about Newark going into the year, we're like, geez, I don't know how good Newark's going to be. Are they going to be a contender even for the East? You know, with losing Micah Wright and Jamie Rosser and Ron Derek Morris. So then when you consider all those losses and then you consider that Newark ran the table in the league undefeated.
Yeah, you know, Coach Ciotti, you know, Miners was kind of the same kind of situation with the loss of Ruddy and Anderson and mm-hmm. some other guys. Not really know what to do, but, you know, I think there's a big gap between first and second this year when, you know, the two games, you know, Newark handled Minders with no problem. Both were 40-point games. Newark did have an overtime game with Palmyra when, you know, when Collins was out. But for the most part, Newark ran through the league really without too much trouble. You know, and the games I saw Newark play, they are well coached. You know, they do a great job. The kids just go out and play. They don't worry about much else. They play hard. They share the ball. And, you know, I think that's a tribute to their coach.
And then in the West, we got Mick Salter Naples Big Green coach. You go undefeated, and that pretty much a lockup coach of the year for you. And they had another team, Burke, that we didn't have them in our top 10 heading into the year. They're 2 now.
Yeah, and, you know, not knowing a lot about some of those West teams, obviously, but, you know, I think we thought, you know, Dundee was going to be the favorite, and, you know, obviously the Dundee finished in second. They didn't do a bad job at all, but, yeah, Naples, great season. You know, they challenged themselves. They had a big win over Early College. You know, a team that really just likes to share the ball. Again, they play well together, and that's a tribute to the coach.
And then over in Wayne County, tons of great coaches in Wayne County and candidates this year, but you had to go with Jamie Grinshaw because he did something that no other coach at Red Creek has ever done, and that's win the Wayne County League title for the Rams. And they're another team, Virk, that we knew they had Jake Sloab coming in, but they've had Jake Sloab the past couple of years and have not been a winning team. This year, they break through. Not only are they a winning team, but they're a 2 seed in their class and sectionals, and they won their league. So it was pretty much a no-brainer for Grimshaw.
Yeah, you know, as far as Red Creek is concerned as a school, it's a historic season for them. They are, you know, a 2 seed in sectionals. They won the league. You know, they bounced back from that big Lion when we saw them broadcast the game. When they lost the Lions, they came back and were able to take care of Northwest Wolcott, which eventually led to them, you know, winning that league title.
And then the overhaul coach of the year, Verka, those three league coaches of the year, we went with Havrilla from Newark for the reasons we just mentioned earlier. Did a great job and has this team primed to hopefully make a run, you know, in sectionals in A2. And it's interesting to note, too, next year they'll be B1.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they'll next year's classifications are already out, and they'll be down to B1. So imagine if they were in B1 right now with Waterloo, Pelmac, and Penn Yan, teams that they, you know, handled.
Well, that's, yeah. They would be a favorite, yeah. I would think, you know.
Yep. So congratulations, Coach Havrilla. And now let's get over to the player side of things. We have three teams, third team, second team, first team. And we call
it. Well, you know, I think they would put them in with. Isn't that with leadership and all them?
Yeah, leadership would still be in. Yeah, would still
that
be
would
in there.
Be Waterloo's B 2, right?
No. North Rose is B 2. Waterloo's B 1. So they'd be. Yeah, next year they'll be in with Waterloo, Pelmac, Penn Yan, and Leadership Academy. Okay, player side of things here. Third team, and this is where it gets tough because you saw that list of nominees. A lot of great players. You can only choose 15. And honestly, most of our coach voting was pretty much unanimous among all the guys who submitted their ballots. A lot of discrepancies for the players. Interestingly enough, though, not a lot of discrepancy for the first team. But when you get to the second and third team, there's a lot of variation. And so let's start now with the third team. And that is made up of Alex Flattery of Bloomfield, Noah Gorton of Naples, Lincoln, the Great Emancipator, Bachman Lowe at South Seneca, Damian Wright at Pelmac, and Tyler Norris, point guard at North Rose Wolcott. And you got Wright and Norris sophomores, Bachman Lowe a junior, and Gorton and Flattery seniors. And what do you think about those five, Virk?
You know, obviously all good players. Helped their teams to pretty good seasons, all of them, and I think they're all good picks. It's, you know, it's tough to, obviously, like you said, pick this team. We don't see these guys enough to do it, but, you know, we kind of follow how much they score, and you know, and I really consider how well the team did,
yeah,
and things of that nature as far as making picks.
Yep. So that's the third team. Moving ahead to the second team, you have Liam Kerher, Minder senior, guard. Then you have Cole Hartman at Dundee, Big Michael Turner, Clyde Savannah, Marquand Ross at Geneva, and number 44, Ben Deming at Waterloo. So Deming and Ross juniors, imagine those guys are coming back next year, Virk, in the East. Should be great to watch. And then you got the three seniors I mentioned, Kerher, Hartman, and Turner. And your thoughts on our second team?
Yeah, you know, all those guys, you look at, like, you know, Liam Kerher, he's kind of been a role player in years past, and this year he's had to step up and kind of take a leadership role.
He's come through.
Yeah, same with Michael Turner, you know, a guy who, you know, probably was their fifth option last year, did a lot of the dirty work this year. You know, he's kind of their go-to guy. He's not great offensively, but he gets, 15, 16 rebounds a game.
Yeah.
And
great shot blocker.
Yeah, does a lot of damage on the boards and playing defense, blocking shots, all that stuff. And Marcon Ross kind of bursted on the scene, after really obviously not playing at all last year. And he's improved. Geneva obviously didn't have the kind of season they're used to, but, I think they're going to bounce back next year and be towards the top of the Finger Lakes East. And, Ben Deming, it's coming along. He's a player who's developing. He's, a great athlete, got a lot of skills, and, he should be a dominant force next year as well.
Best offensive low post game in the Wayne Finger Lakes, if you ask me. Ben Deming, and then Cole Hartman at Dundee, lunch pail type of guy. And, to me, he's kind of prototypical of the type of players that you see at Dundee. And Coach Les Miller did a great job with Hartman over his career. And we'll see what they can do in the postseason. First team. And the last player I name is going to be our player of the year here. And, boy, this is really tough because we had some great players this year in Wayne County. And we had great players from an undefeated team in Naples, and we had great players on Newark, the undefeated team in the Finger Lakes East. So let's start off with Shamar Logans at Newark, senior. And if there's one surprise here, I think it might be Logans, only because he's always been in kind of the shadow of Tyler Collins a little bit when you're talking about the best players in the league. And I'm glad to see that the voters gave him the respect to put him on the first team, because I really think, and he showed it the one game Collins was out and they needed him to score more than usual, 27 points in an overtime win.
Yeah, he's a kid who, I think if you put him on a lesser team who could go out and get you 20 points a night if needed. Newark really shares the ball, and even Collins rarely scored 20 points a game.
Yeah.
That was just the, I thought that the fact that they were undefeated, Newark went undefeated in the Finger Lakes East, which, to me was the strongest of the leagues, I think they deserved to have him on there.
And then speaking of undefeated, Naples senior Isaiah Tilley is next on our list, and he's a guy, Virk, that he might not even score double digits some night, but he's a four-category guy and just a consummate team player in that system they have at Naples this year, and really the leader of the undefeated team and the league champs in the Finger Lakes West. So Isaiah Tilley at four, and then we move ahead to Jake Slobe at Red Creek in his senior campaign, just capping it off of a dream year, really, with a league championship, and now trying to put a stamp on it in sectionals, but scored his 1,000th point this year. We've talked about his work ethic before, and we've had him up here in the studio before. He's a great kid, and unanimous selection on our first team.
Yeah, he, capping off his senior year in style with the league championship. Like you said, hard worker. He can do a little bit of everything. He shoots it. He, scores in the post, gets the foul line a lot. So he had another great year.
And he did a lot of more damage inside this year than maybe in years past. He kind of added that element to his game. When we first saw him, he was more of a perimeter-oriented guy. Another great senior who we're going to miss when he's gone, the point guard at Lions, Mr. Excitement, Damon Tippy Hunter.
Yeah, Damon, in my mind, was a he was somebody who was being heavily considered for play of the year, and he had some huge games. He had a stretch of three or four games in a row there, went over 30 points. Mm-hmm. He played great in the game we broadcast against Red Creek. Really was the difference in that game. They just didn't have anybody to guard him, and it's kind of been that way for him for really all 3 years of his career. He was MVP of sectionals as a sophomore, when he was able to get a sectional championship for Lions. And he's been a fun player to watch, very competitive. He leaves it all out there. Sometimes he can be a little too animated for my liking, but he plays hard. And, not only can he score, he passes the ball really well. He does a great job, dishing, finding his open teammates, because he draws a lot of attention. So he another great year for Damon, and, a first-team all-league nomination.
Five times this year, a double-double with assists.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Points and assists. So that leaves the last player on our first team, also our player of the year. I guess there's probably not too much drama at this point that we've given away Slobes and Hunter's, Jake Slobe and Damon Hunter's name, probably the other two main competitors for the player of the year. But and this was also surprisingly unanimous. I think there was all but one vote for Tyler Collins, Newark senior point guard. He's been starting at point guard for Newark since he was a sophomore. Had a lot of great talent around him. This year was a year where he really stepped up and owned the team. Great court vision, great rebounder, great defense, great passer.
Yeah, he does a little bit of everything. You know, he's not, you know, he's a kid who just he plays the game the way it was meant to be. To me, he just goes about his business, and you know, at the end of the night, he ends up with, you know, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 steals. It's mm-hmm. you know, it seems what you see in the box score every night for him.
And the team wins.
And the team wins, which, you know, I think that factors into it. You know, he might not be the best individual player out there, but, you know, I think he's the best player on the best team, and he really makes them go. You know, the game he didn't play there, they obviously struggled a little bit. So, I think you can see how important he is to his team. And, you know, and he's a kid who really did it the right way. Never, you know, he didn't, you know, we watched Newark play over the last couple of years. He might not have stuck out to you. But right. This year when they needed him, he was there for him, and he had a great senior year.
Yeah, so congratulations to Tyler Collins and all the other players honored tonight. A lot of the seniors had great careers. A lot of the underclassmen, it's exciting that we're going to see them come back and see what they can do next year in terms of helping their team win and appearing on these awards, you know, next year. So real quick, I'm going to give our final Girl Super 6 and power rankings. Not really much to discuss, but the votes are in, and this is the last edition of our poll here as we get ready to begin the regular or the postseason in just 2 days on Tuesday night. The games start for sectionals. For the Girls Super 6, we have Minders at 6, Romulus at 5, Pelmac at 4, East Rochester 3, Geneva 2, and Wayne 1. And then on the boys' side of things, we had Penn Yan drop out this week, replaced at 10 by Marcus Whitman. 9 is Clyde, 8 Pelmac, 7 Dundee, 6 Minders, 5 North Rose Wolcott, 4 Lions, 3 Red Creek, Naples at 2, and Newark at 1. I mentioned the sectional play kicking off on Tuesday night. In B2, it'll be number 9, Wayland Cohocton, at number 8, Midlakes. In C1, it'll be Addison. At number 4, East Rochester, it'll be Williamson against Bloomfield, at Bloomfield. It'll be Holly at SOTUS, World of Inquiry at Gananda. And then in C2, it'll be Campbell, Savona, Bradford at Clyde, Savannah. A lot of hyphen. That'll be the all-hyphen game. And then also in C2, it's Red Jacket at Dundee, South Seneca at Geneseo, Marion at York, and Honeoy at Cuba Rushford. Wednesday night in A2, it's Wayne at Geneva. A nice little rivalry game there in the preliminary round in A2. And then in D1, another matchup between two Finger Lakes West teams, Romulus at Harley Allendale, Columbia, both 7 p.m. starts. And then on Friday, we really get into it, B1, Penn Yan at Pelmac, Waterloo at Hornell. In B2, Leroy at North Rose Wolcott, and Bath Haverling at Marcus Whitman. In C1, it'll be the winner of Byron Burgeon and Pembroke at Minders. It'll be the winner of Bloomfield and Marcus Whitman against the winner of ER and Addison. It'll be the SOTUS Holly winner in C1 at Early College, the World of Inquiry Gananda winner at Avon, and then in C2, the Clyde Savannah Campbell Savona Bradford winner at Cal Mum, Dundee Red Jacket winner at the Kendall Alexander winner. I should say not necessarily at Kendall. If Alexander beat Kendall, Dundee beat Red Jacket, it would be at Dundee, I think, or maybe even a site to be announced. Then in C2, Canisteo Greenwood Warsaw winner against the Geneseo South Seneca winner. And then some more games Saturday. And then we'll be back next Sunday night. Monday, March 2nd, semifinal rounds in Class C. And then all the way up until the weekend of March 7th and 8th at the Blue Cross Arena for the finals. And those finals will be in Class C1, a 10 a.m. final, C2, 12 p.m. final, C3, 2 p.m., D1, 7 p.m., A2 on Sunday, time to be announced. Same with B1 and B2. So, Virk, A lot going on. I think we covered it pretty good here. And we'll be back next Sunday with a lot to talk about, see what teams are still alive.
Yeah, fun time of the year, and good luck to all the Wayne, Finger Lakes, West teams, and Wayne County teams, and we hope to see some of you at the Blue Cross.
Yeah, as far as where we'll be, Section 5 does not allow us to show the images of the live game, so we do a little game center presentation with some stats and some video from around the gymnasiums or arenas, and we call it radio style. Not exactly sure where we're going yet, but when we do announce it, it'll be on the front page of FingerLakes1.com on our webcast schedule, so keep an eye there. And thanks for joining us tonight for the Upstate Hoops podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. We'll be back here next Sunday night at 9 o'clock with a recap of all the postseason action. So good luck this week to all the Wayne Finger Lakes teams.